So all of a sudden, the gratitude leads to joy. The joy that is untouched, again, by circumstance, that is untouched by situation, that is untouched what the world can say or whatever, and you're overcome with joy, and then your praise in the joy lifts up to the Lord because you have someone to thank. Oh, yeah. I wanna be in the light as you are in the light.
Welcome to today's message, friends, here on Live in the Light. We have a practical, valuable message for you here from Psalm chapter 4, and we are calling it a biblical strategy for stress and distress. And that's exactly what it is. We want the knowledge and love for Scripture to be so close to our hearts that we know where we can go in any situation. David knows from experience and shares with us through this psalm that God has got us. He's familiar with our situation and cares enough to see us through. Thank you, Lord, for that. Hey, if you want more messages like this one, you can visit our website at any time at liveinthelight.ca. There we have recordings of all of our programs available to you so you can go back and take notes or listen to some new ones for the first time. Our mission here at Live in the Light is to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. And we want you to be able to hear that anytime. If you are ready for some truth about stress today, open your Bible with me to Psalm chapter 4. Here's Pastor Robbie.
The Lord can be the refuge and the answer that is so simple and yet so often missed. I want you to notice the contextual insight of this psalm too. Look at the title of the psalm. It says, to the choir master with stringed instruments, a psalm of David. So what is Psalm 4? Ultimately, it's a song. David is so good at this. David knows one of the greatest weapons against stress and distress and anxiety is musical worship. It's musical worship rooted in the Word of God. The power of musical worship as you seek the Lord and longing for this to take over and longing for this again to be something that ministers to your life and heart. I hope you know this. I hope you're using this. I mean, this is what secular music cannot do. This is what Beyonce cannot do. This is what Taylor Swift cannot do, praise God. They can't do it. They shake it off, shake it off, shake it off. It doesn't work. It's rooted in nothing. But you have songs rooted in the very Word of God, and it's so powerful because it's filled with the Spirit of God and the eternal truths, again, rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm out walking early morning. Love to get up early. Out walking in our neighborhood early in the morning, listening to worship music. And one of my favorite worship playlists, and I hit random, loving random, and a song comes on I haven't heard in a while. It's an incredible song of sovereignty of God in the midst of trials and stress and difficulty. And the theology was written a couple hundred years ago in a modern version, powerfully. You're walking on the street and your mind is filled in musical worship, reminded of the truth of God. And what happens, like tears just fill your eyes. Like you're sensing the presence of God. You're reminded of his control and sovereignty and goodness. You're reminded what you see, but the things you cannot see. You're reminded that he's in charge. You're reminded he is good. You're reminded of his faithfulness. You're reminded that he cares for you. You're reminded that one day it all makes sense. And you're reminded, wow, I'm in good hands. And you're walking down the sidewalk and tears filling your eyes and joggers are jogging by saying, what's up with that guy? That guy's good. Well, that guy is, he's good. You don't know it. Looks like he's depressed. He's good. He's good because the Lord is near. What a strategy for stress and distress. This is what David knows. And this is what we need to do. Less of the world, more of Jesus. Amen. Less of the world, more dependence and simplicity and beauty. Again, that we will call on the only true source of relief. Strategy number one, strategy number two. Comprehend that God cares for his own. In the midst of stress and distress, we must comprehend that God, I just alluded to it, God cares for his own. Look at verse 2. David says, O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? And then he says, verse 3, so good, but know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Again, we don't know the exact identity of David's attackers, but we do know their strategy. They have lies against him. They are seeking to slander him. They're trying to destroy his reputation. It's interesting. One of the main strategies of attackers against Jesus was shame. That's one of the main strategies against Jesus, by the way, shame. That's one of the main strategies of evil and people who oppose Christians and us today, Christ followers, is shame. Shame and lies and slander. In verse 2, the second half, David says, how long will you love, notice, vain words and seek after lies? What's he doing there? That's a description of worthless, seek after worthless worship to false gods. He's like, how long will you do this, people? How long will you continue to follow after vain words, false gods? How long will you continue to seek after lies, the empty prayers of false gods who will never, ever deliver? He's like, how long will you do this? Personally, I'm very sensitive to the spiritual world. Very sensitive to the reality of the world we're living, constantly aware, false gods, the lies of our world, the things of society. Like, I just see it all the time. Maybe you do too. And it's interesting when that happens and you're constantly sensitive to spiritual things of the world. You're like, lie, that's a lie. That's not true. That's empty. That's a pathway to destruction and hell. That's not going to, you're just aware of this and you're walking around in society and life and you often feel like I don't fit. I don't agree with that. I'm nowhere near that. I think that's an absolute disaster. And you feel like you don't fit. Why? Because you don't. As the New Testament tells us, in Christ, we are strangers, exiles, aliens, sojourners on this life. We're not supposed to fit in. We're supposed to be different. And often when you don't fit in, then often the world will look and they will mock. And we've all maybe gone through a version of that in one way or another, and we'll continue to, which is actually a really, really good sign in one way or another. We relate here with David and saying, again, he's looking around and saying, how long will you follow such things? So what do we do then in these moments? We do what David does. When the stress and distress that comes upon us and creeps down again upon us, look at verse 3. This is what David does. He renews his mind with what is true. He says, but the Lord knows, or the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. So people attack, people mock, people come, they try to oppose and oppress, but the Lord hears when I call to him. He's saying, the Lord has me, I am his. What a strategy for stress and distress, to remind yourselves of the reality of the gospel. That's what he's doing. Let's just put a slide up here so we could do the same thing for us right now. This is what we need to do in times of stress and distress and really every day of our lives, to remind ourselves who we are. So in Christ, a very important leading phrase. This isn't for everyone here right now. At least this isn't describing everyone in here right now. Overflow, or I'm not sure exactly who's here today. This is for those who are saved in Jesus Christ. Sins eternally forgiven. You have confessed your sins. You have repented. You have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, in the shed blood for the forgiveness of your sins and his being raised from the dead, that he defeated death. You belong to him now. You will never die. This is for those in Christ. You are a child of God. You are forgiven. You are not saved by works. You are saved by grace through faith. So in Christ, what? We learned this. We heard this already today. Life is hard and trials are certain. In Christ. Really, really good to say these things out loud. Guaranteed, life is hard and trials are certain in Christ. It's important to say that, because you need to show people exactly the path and the reality. It's lost, we can get into that maybe for another time too, in Christ. But secondly, notice you are adopted into God's family. If you are truly in Christ, then you are a child of God. You will never not be a child of God. You are a child of God. You are in God's family, and Jesus says in John 6, I will never lose one that the Father has given me. You will never, ever, ever, ever be cast out. You are saved in Jesus Christ. You are forever saved in Jesus Christ. This is all because of what Christ did. In Christ, nothing will ever separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing ever, 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 ever. And all God's people said, Amen. And ever. They said ever too. We'll never ever be separated from God's love. And in Christ, then your true home awaits. Jesus said, if I go to prepare a place for you, and then I will return again, and I will show you again the place that I have prepared. Wow, it's going to be so awesome. And Philippians 3 talks about that our citizenship is in heaven, and from it, our citizenship in heaven, we await the glory that is coming, where our lowly bodies will be transformed to our glorious bodies, these bodies of sin that are effect by aging. We will receive a glorified, perfect resurrection body again. Jesus Christ, all in favor. Amen, amen, amen. How awesome that's going to be. That's going to be so good. So in Christ, we are reminded of this reality. And by the way, what we just did right here, right now, this is an anti-stress exercise. You're welcome. Okay, like this is, we are being reminded of what is most true in our lives if we are truly saved in Jesus Christ. What happens here? Christ is becoming bigger, problems of life becoming smaller. That's one of the keys. That's one of the strategies for combating stress and distress. We can't let life, sin, world get big. Christ is big, and then all of a sudden life and problems get smaller. Not that they're not real. They just become smaller. Why? Because God cares for his own. Because this I know, God is for me. Well, you're like, is that a verse, Robbie? It is actually Psalm 56. Let's go there, right? Psalm 56, an amazing, the psalmist says this. Who's this for today? You have kept count of my tossings. Isn't that beautiful? You have kept count of my tossings. So I was tossing in bed a lot last night, but here's why. It's because neighbors 2 doors down decided to put fireworks like super loud at midnight, 11:30 midnight. It's the closest I've ever gone to calling the cops. I'm just like, this is ridiculous. I'm just sleeping, bang, just like that. And just all there, what are they doing? Like setting the whole neighborhood on fire. Anyways, that was annoying. All right. So tossings last night, put my tears in your bottle. Who's that for? You're like, does God see? Oh, he sees. Does God care? Oh, he cares. Oh, he cares. He's storing your tears in a bottle. He's counting the tossings. Are they not in your book? He's writing them down. Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. Why? Because this I know that God is for me. What? See, this is the strategy of stress and distress. At the end of the day, this is what carries you all through eternity. There's nothing more important than that statement right there. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? What can man do to me if God is for me? That sounds familiar. Romans 8, anyone? If God is for me, who can be against me? Yes, it is. You see, so the strategy of stress and distress, again, we are literally right now going through an anti-stress exercise, and it's working. But you got to do it tomorrow and the next day. And we got to do this together. To rehearse the gospel. This is what David has done. He's looking around. How long will you follow vain words and lies? But the Lord has set apart the godly for himself, and he will never, ever let them go. Strategy number 3, consider the one true path of power. There's only one true path of power, and that's the Lord. So look at verse 4. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent, Selah. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. So what's happening here? It's like there's 2 ways in life, the ways of man, the ways of God, the ways of the world, the ways of Christ. There's 2 paths ultimately, the way of death and Satan, the way of life and the Lord. So what are you going to choose? So consider there's one true path of power. That's the Lord's path. That's Jesus. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the path of God. And this is what David's really looking at. He's in the context, right, of slander and lies and false accusation against David, right? He's sitting there, he's reflecting on this, and he can get angry, understandably. Verse 4 is so fascinating. Be angry and do not sin. So what happens when we are attacked in this way? We are filled with anger. The temptation in that moment is payback upon those who have hurt us. Turning anger, in this case, into sin. Paul quotes this verse directly in Ephesians 4. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. What are we learning there? We're learning there's such a thing as anger apart from sinful, harmful, again, anger and destruction. There's an anger that is a righteous indignation that does exist. We know that from Jesus. Jesus in the temple, he turned the tables over. He was angry. He didn't sin, but he was angry. He was indignant. There's such a thing as righteous indignation. But the key what David is saying here, as you're responding to the attacks of the world, whatever it might be, the stress and the oppression that comes upon your lives, it is appropriate to have a righteous indignation, but do not let that anger turn into harmful, destructive sin. Because again, what's the great temptation when we are wronged or hurt? The great temptation we feel is revenge. We want payback. We want revenge. We want to hurt those who have hurt us. That's what the flesh wants to do. It's very powerful. It's very tempting. We all know that. So Dave is addressing that right here. And he's like, wait, stop and consider. Is revenge and personal justice the path of power? It's not. The Lord is the path of power. See, this is one of the reasons all these superhero movies in our day don't help us. Because the superhero movies are always about taking justice into your own hands. It's always about humans trying to solve the problems and kind of rectifying the evil, whatever it might be. As fun as that might be to watch, but we were just like, yeah, I need justice in my hand. I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to get revenge. I'm going to pay back the evil. But that's not the path that Christ has asked us to follow. In fact, Hebrews 10 says that the Lord says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. God says, you wait, I will take care of it. In my time, I will take care of it. And this is a strategy to consider what is the true path of power. So our response then, notice our response is to ponder, to consider, right? Verse 4, to reflect upon such things. And then notice the conclusion, verse 5. Look at verse 5. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. So simple, so profound, right? David ponders, Selah, reflecting, considering. This is what's happening. The response is offer right sacrifice, worship the Lord, live for the Lord, and put your trust in the Lord. Again, so simple, yet so profound. I wonder, just by way of application here today, what situation, what circumstance, what person is the Lord asking you to surrender to him today? You've wanted payback. You've wanted revenge. You've wanted to take justice into your own hands. God's like, no, that's not the plan. What situation, what circumstance, what person is the Lord asking you to surrender over to him? That you might not put your trust in yourself, that you might seek to put your trust in the Lord to offer right sacrifices to him. So one of the things I often say to myself, again, in moments of temptation, because life is filled with all sorts of different things, right? When I literally say it to myself out loud. And I don't really care if people see me saying this or whatever. That guy talks to himself. Yes, he does, because he needs to. I say out loud, Robbie, trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Like, it is that simple. Why? In this situation, my temptation is to trust in myself. This situation is to try to take control. Robbie, trust the Lord. Listen, Robbie, the Lord knows. The Lord knows. The Lord knows. The Lord knows. He sees. He's not blind. He's not deaf. He knows. Does he care? He does, Robbie. He cares. His time, his way, his will. Robbie, trust the Lord. The Lord knows. The Lord knows. Very helpful for me. I extend that to you, like literally out loud, preaching to yourself in the moment. Do I do it perfectly? Of course not. Do I struggle? Of course I do. But in the moment, again, the powerful reminder, it's amazing how much I need to renew my mind in what is actually true. The Lord knows, the Lord cares, and what matters. Do we trust him? Do we trust him? Because here's the problem, church, right? Here's the problem. Many of us, by the way we live, prove we trust ourselves more than we trust Christ. Selah. The way we live indicates we trust ourselves more than we trust Christ, the more that we trust God. And that's a strategy for multiplied stress and distress. But a strategy against stress and distress is to seek and consider the one true path of power. It is not the way of the world. It is the way of the Lord. Critical moments in life will be walking the flesh, or will we walk in the power of the Spirit of the Lord? This is the strategy David is laying out for us. And our strategy, our last one, strategy number 4 is this. How much do you think the first word starts with a C? It says this, calculate that there's no joy like the Lord's joy. Amen, church? Consider, calculate. There's no joy like the Lord's joy. Let's just go through the last three verses quickly here. Verse 6. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. So David is referring to people who are likely looking to false gods to bring them good in their lives. That's so true, eh? Our world does that today all the time, right? Looking to false gods, idolatry, bring me good in my life. And he's just like, many, many who say this. But then David says, Lord, lift up the light of your face again upon us. This right here is David at his best. He sees the lies of the world and he knows only the Lord is satisfaction. And he really is repeating the Aaronic blessing, right? And number 6, the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you. He's like, oh, Lord, when the light of your face shines upon my life, There is no one else I need. There is nothing else I need. One of the most powerful secrets of success within stress is this. Lord, would you lift the light of your face upon us, upon me? Hey, like for me personally, there's nothing that will fill my eyes with tears and joy faster than the awareness of God's presence and the gaze of God upon my life. Nothing will fill my eyes with tears and fill my soul with joy faster than knowing that the Lord is near. There's no one like him. He is so good. He is so beautiful. He is so marvelous. He is so satisfying. He is so beautiful. He is so majestic. He is so, again, sufficient. The Lord is everything. I mean, by far, the greatest moments of my life, by far, not even close, again and again and again, have been the simplicity of the moment of having the Lord so near to be filled with the awareness of his presence and the joy that comes, the joy and the reality and the blessing of knowing that the God of the universe is drawing near and showing his love and mercy upon your life again. So good, so awesome. And that's why then David says, verse seven, notice, you have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. That's so good. That verse, my favorite in the Psalms, should be underlined, should be highlighted, should be a pen asterisk beside it, something. That's so awesome. God, you put more joy in my heart when all their money and all their pursuit of pleasure abound. They can have all the grain and the wine they want, but in the Lord, You have infinitely given me more joy than the world will ever know. Beautiful and so powerful. This is what the Lord does. This is what perspective brings. This is what he's reminding us again today. Do you want a strategy against stress and distress? Then you must know, you must believe there's no joy like the Lord's joy. Stop following the world and trying to find joy. It doesn't work. It never, ever, ever works. So my wife, Jill, and I, we celebrated 25 years of marriage this past week, and we're really, really thankful for that. Thank you. Yeah, I'm excited about it, to be honest. Like, I'm excited about it, and we went away for a little bit, and one of my prayers as we're going away, see, I love perspective so much. I love perspective so much. I was asking the Lord that I would have moments where my wife and I would be able to look back 25 years, but even beyond that, what do we deserve? We deserve death and hell. That's what we deserve as sinners who live for self and loved our sin. We have received everlasting life in the Lord Jesus Christ, 100% what he gave, unmerited. We didn't deserve any of it. He gave it to us. On top of that, then you see a life that he's called us and we're able to have marriage and there we are in ministry. And again, looking back upon 25 years, and the thing that I love so much is the moment of perspective. See, it's all been God's grace. It's been up and down. It's been super hard at different times, and you know, times you want to, whatever. He has preserved. He has allowed us to endure. It's all grace. It's all grace. It's all grace. In the moment when you see that and you see the grace and you look back and you remember the ups and you remember the downs, you remember the joys, you remember the sorrows, you see the grace, you know what you deserve, death and hell. You've been given Jesus Christ. And then all of a sudden you have this massive amount of gratitude that comes upon your life. The gratitude of what you don't deserve, the gratitude of God's grace. And when you have the gratitude of God's grace, all of a sudden the gratitude leads to joy. The joy that is untouched, again, by circumstance, that is untouched by situation, that is untouched what the world can say or whatever, and you're overcome with joy, and then your praise in the joy lifts up to the Lord because you have someone to thank. The world can't thank anyone. The world thanks what, themselves? They look around and they see a couple of things they like, and who do they thank? They thank some unknown, again, mystery being? Do they thank themselves for that? What a joke. We, as Christ followers, we get to place our gratitude in the one true God. And we are humbled. We are broken. We are so, again, low in these moments. But you are filled with perspective, the joy that comes in, and the gratitude that accompanies that. Oh, one of my favorite moments in life. Favorite moments in life. Tears streaming down your cheeks. I deserve death and hell. I've been given everlasting life. And not to mention, again, the ability to be used on any level for the purposes of the kingdom of God. Oh man, take me back there anytime, Lord, anytime. So good, so awesome, so real, so powerful. There is no joy like the Lord's joy. There is no joy. When their grain and wine abound, in some cases, grain and wine is a gift from God, if you want to put it in those categories. Everything's a gift from God. But see, we get to look at grain and wine and say, thank you, Lord. It's just your grace. I don't deserve it. Open the fridge today. It's your grace. I'm surviving today. It's your grace. The hope of glory is a grace. It's grace. We become so small, he becomes so big, and the joy that he then gives to his people. This is an incredible antidote to stress and distress within our lives. Only found in the Lord. You will not find this in the world. And then notice that no wonder verse 8 finishes. Look at verse 8. Right? In peace, I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. See what happens? David, feel the love of God. The love of God leads to the joy in the Lord. The joy in the Lord then leads to the peace in the Lord, right? He's like, man, I'm loved by God. He sets apart God for himself. I have the joy that cannot be fully described again in this world by the Lord. Well, then I'm going to lie down at night. I'm going to have peace. Why? Because I know I'm the Lord's. I know that he is mine. I know that he keeps me safe. What can man do to me? That brings peace. That brings peace. Because nothing will ever separate me from the love of God. And the Lord, at the end of the day, is the one who's in charge, again, of my safety. And even if man kills me, I instantly enter into eternity with the Lord forever and ever. So death, where's your victory? Death, where's your sting? You got nothing because Jesus Christ defeated it all. See what David's doing right there? See what David's doing? This is powerful, a powerful strategy for stress and distress, again, because there's no joy like the Lord's joy. So here we are. Life is hard. Life is filled with stress and trials at times. Life on this side of heaven is going to be challenging. So what do? We need a plan. And the plan will be the difference, again, between grief, right? And joy, the difference between, again, chaos and peace, the difference between, again, misery and contentment in the things of the Lord. That'll be the difference. So I'm so grateful for David, his wisdom, his life. And I'm pretty excited about what Psalm 4 is teaching us right now in the world that we live in, how much this will be used. Yes, Lord, fill us, renew us, and lead us. Amen. Love you much. Love you much. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, would you take these truths and multiply them in our lives and hearts? Please, in Jesus' name, would you? I can only imagine the situations of stress and distress that are represented here. Countless. Probably every single person in one way or another. So you've spoken. May we listen. May our theology lead to practice now. That's what needs to happen. May our theology lead to practice, just like David. Lead us, Lord. Use this beautiful last song to just put a huge exclamation mark upon everything we've heard. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening again today from all of us here at Live in the Light. Each day, we strive to share faithful and passionate preaching of God's word to strengthen his people and his church. If you want to hear more from Pastor Robbie, you can find past series and messages at our website, liveinthelight.ca, or on our podcast available on Apple, Spotify, or any other streaming platform. Hope you'll join us again next time on Live in the Light. I wanna